Welcome to Prospect Spotlight. I'm Yul Solons. Richie Schafer has arguably had the best year of any player in the Rays system. But it hasn't always been easy for the 2012 first-round pick out of Clemson University. Last year, Schafer hit only .222 and believes he certainly put too much pressure on himself.
You know, I did put a little, you know, too much pressure on me to just to be someone that I'm not, you know, or to be someone bigger than who I am. Just, you know, I think that one of those things that happened when I got to the lowest point last year was realizing, like, hey, you know, just relax, man. Like, do your thing. Like, you're a great player, and you're in the position you are because you're talented and you've put in a ton of work. Just, you know, relax and let everything, you know, handle itself. And so once I started just trusting myself and my talent and the hard work that I put in, that's when I started to see, you know, success come. And that's a tough thing to do because, you know, it's hard to have success without confidence, but it's also hard to have confidence without success. So you really have to have that self-faith and really trust yourself as a player to continue to grow.
What did you do to get ready for this year?
I made a huge commitment to the weight room. You know, that was a huge priority for me. I found a trainer in a gym in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they were just unbelievable. So, like, from start to finish, like, I really wanted to get, you know, physically bigger, but also a lot stronger and faster and more mobile. It's just a complete overhaul physically, for sure. To give some perspective, I my first day in the gym, which was the very first day of the off season, I was 204 pounds, and I was, I think it was 9% body fat. When I left the gym, I was 228, and I was 8% body fat. So I threw on, you know, a ton of muscle. I was, you know, leaner. I was, you know, more flexible, faster, and more explosive. So it was, it took, you know, an incredible amount of work. I mean, I was in the gym every day, and it was the right kind of work. You know, you hear kind of stories of guys come in and they're too bulky and slow, but this was the right kind of stuff done by, you know, a real professional, and it was, you know, pretty much a game changer for me.
How hard was it, and how much more did you have to eat to get?
Cool. Yeah, a lot. I had to eat a lot. To the point where I really enjoy food, and I, you know, you eat that much and you start to, you kind of have to force it down a little bit. So, I mean, I was eating close to 6,000 to 7,000 calories a day, some days a little more. And I just got on a really good, you know, strict diet where I was, you know, really eating consistently and eating healthy, but I didn't need to eat too healthy because I was trying to put on a lot of weight. So I had to cheat and have my Oreos and my pizza and stuff like that. So I got to enjoy it a little bit too. So that was good. It was hard because I'm on a super intense diet, eating a million calories a day, and my fiance's on a, you know, super low carb diet, and she's eating nothing. So we basically had to make like two separate dinners every night and stuff. So it was good though.
You mentioned your fiance. Congratulations. I know you got engaged.
Thank
you. Walk us through, you know, the next step in your life.
Me and her have been, her name is Danielle. We've been dating since I was a junior in high school, so it's been a long time. And I was getting the questions from all angles, like, hey, when are you getting engaged? When are you getting engaged? You know, all that stuff. But I knew when I was ready, I was gonna be ready to go. And I knew she was the one for a long time. But yeah, it happened in December. So I was like, you know what? Like, I'm gonna do something Christmas related, definitely. So we, on the top floor of our apartment complex, was like a rooftop terrace up there. It's got an incredible view of Charlotte, where we live in North Carolina. It's got an incredible view of like the cityscape and everything. And I brought our tree up there, I decorated it and had it all like nice and you know, a Christmas theme. I had like Christmas music playing and everything. And then I had the ring in a nice box, and the place I bought it like wrapped it, you know, really pretty for me. I couldn't have done it that well. You know, so it had like a giant bow on it. It was really cute. So we get there, and I was like, hey, I got a surprise for you. Let's go upstairs. And she's like, okay. So we go up there. I was like, hey, you know, we hadn't really done Christmas or whatever. I just wanted you to have something to open for Christmas. Because we had kind of decided, like, you know, let's just not do Christmas this year. We've been together for so long. It's so many Christmases that let's not do it. So I was like, you know what? I wanted you to have Christmas this year. I wanted you to be able to open something. So it was just a little treat. So she kind of thought that was a surprise, just the tree and the music and the Christmas thing. She was like, oh, thank you. And then she started opening it up, and when she opened the box, it was like the little wooden thing that you actually open. So then she opened it, and I got down on a knee, and the tears started and all kind of stuff. So it was great. It was an awesome experience. So I was pretty pumped. And then later on, we met up with our families and everything, and so it was good.
How helpful was she
through all you went through last year, because it had to be your toughest year.
Yeah, I mean, she was my rock for sure. I mean, she's awesome. She's one of the most optimistic, positive people I've ever been around my whole life, and she's the person, you know, really helped me when I was doing at my very bottom, at my lowest that I was at last year, with my confidence and everything. I mean, she's the one that, you know, kept pulling me up and say, "Hey, this isn't you. Let's go. You got this. You know, keep pushing through. Like, this isn't you. Like, you're better than this. Like, you gotta stay positive. Like, we're all here behind you." Between her and my parents and my brother, and I had a great support cast around me, and it was, you know, those are the people that, you know, kind of pull you up when you're at your lowest, for sure.
It sounds like the adversity made you stronger.
In terms of just actually on the field, and failure in that realm, I had never really experienced anything like that, and so, you know, it broke me down a lot, but it definitely built me up stronger for sure, because now I feel like I'm ready to face, you know, any challenge that's out there.
When you get that call that you're going to go to the big leagues for the first time, what will that mean to you and your family?
I honestly don't even know. I don't know how I'll react. I mean, I'm sure there'll be some tears involved for sure. Just being overwhelmed. You know, it's something that I've worked for since I was 2 years old, since I could stand on my feet by myself. You know, I've been hitting wiffle balls in the backyard with my dad since I can, you know, remember. I don't know. It's gonna be difficult to describe to you without actually experiencing it. But, you know, hopefully that day will come. So that's what I keep working towards.
Schaefer certainly appears on the verge of breaking through to the big leagues. He was called up to AAA Durham on Memorial Day and excelled there so much so that he represented the Rays in the Futures game on July 12th in Cincinnati, along with a player we previously featured, lefty pitcher Blake Snell.
Snell also represented the Rays in the AA All-Star game in the Southern League, along with several other teammates, including Boog Powell, the outfielder already has been promoted to AAA Durham. In High A, Jake Bowers, the first baseman, was the MVP of the Florida State League All-Star game, and Jake Faria, who led the league in ERA, was promoted to AA along with Bowers after the game. The Rays also had several representatives in the Midwest League All-Star game, including power-hitting first baseman Casey Gillespie, Jace Conrad, and pitcher Brent Honeywell. All of those players have now been promoted to High A Charlotte, where they're teammates of second baseman Kian Wong, who's been an All-Star and also has an older brother, Colton, who is an everyday second baseman with the St. Louis Cardinals. And Colton and Kian were introduced to the game by their father, Kaha, in Hawaii.
My dad was just always in baseball. He played for the Reno Silver Sox. So yeah, he played, and then I saw pictures of him, and then I saw my brother playing, and I was like, man, I really want to play baseball too. So he threw me in there, and he taught me and my brother how to play baseball.
Now, you started as a catcher and a
third
baseman?
In high school, I had to catch because we really didn't have catchers, and Hawaii's it's not as big as the mainland baseball, so I had to catch for our high school, and I actually did pretty well.
Did you think ever of becoming a catcher, or did you know that you were going to become an infielder?
I kind of knew I was going to be an infielder. I was kind of too small to be a catcher, so I worked on infield, but I also catch in high school just to help the team out.
Your brother obviously plays the same position you do. Your brother Colton, who's a major leaguer with the Cardinals. What kind of inspiration was he to you, and what's the relationship like?
Our relationship is, I think we're more than brothers. We're like best friends. We work out every single day in the off season. He teaches me how to play second. He actually taught me like the basics of second base. I never played second base throughout my whole life. And by him having him in the major leagues and teaching me what he learned, it's awesome.
Colton thinks a lot of his younger brother and also has been a mentor to him.
You know, just whenever he needs any kind of help, I talk with him all the time about, you know, just the process of going through the minor leagues, how tough it is, and you know, how you just got to grind through it and learn and, you know, figure out how to, you know, make it work in your own style.
Tell me about him as a player.
I mean, he's good. You know, he's bigger than I am. You know, I work with him nonstop, so our games are basically the exact same. You know, he's a little more unpolished than I am, but, you know, he's working there and he's young, so, you know, he's going to be a good player. He likes to learn, he likes to get better, and, you know, he's someone who's never going to be satisfied.
As a brother, do you always listen, or sometimes do you have to kind of learn for yourself?
I'm kind of boneheaded. I like to learn on my own. So I pick his brain a little bit. He's a major leaguer, and he's at the highest peak he can be. So I listen to him, but I'm really proud. Really proud to have him. And his postseason he had this year was awesome. He put our family, made our family so proud, and made my mom proud also.
You're obviously, to this point, a pretty accomplished hitter. I mean, you hit with 300 in the Midwest League as a 19-year-old. What makes you a good hitter? Why do you think you hit well?
Just from my dad. He taught me how to hit, and he always pushed me because he knew there was competition out there, and it was just awesome to have my dad as a batting coach.
What kind of hitter are you?
I say I'm a gap-to-gap hitter, not a power hitter. I like to square up balls and let the big guys drive me in.
One of those players driving Kian in is Willy Adames, who just happens to be Kian's roommate and his double play partner. And you'll learn Willie's story on the next edition of Prospect Spotlight.